ideal way that we're supposed to be sharing Torah, the ideal way is supposed to be in person, and we're all supposed to be actually physically in the same room learning together. But the Ribbono Shalom has given us these other methods, these other ways to be able to connect with each other and to be able to share Hashem's Torah together with each other. And I thank you for taking advantage and giving me the opportunity to share a little bit of Torah with you. Probably over the last 2 weeks or so, 90% of my shiurim have been related to the coronavirus and how it's upended our lives and how things have changed as a result of that. So when I was talking to Mrs. Cement about what topic, and I was being very difficult about coming up with a topic in time to advertise. So this is what I was struggling with. More? Do we want more corona? More discussion of COVID-19? Or maybe we need a little bit of an escape. Maybe this should be more of a typical pre-Pesach type of shir, something that relates to Pesach. So I'd rather do the latter, and we're going to do something that's Pesach related, but I think is also a timely message for every time, but particularly for what the world is going through right now, and we certainly as part of it, meaning certainly I don't know of anything else that I've ever experienced in my life, any other tsara that I've ever seen happen in my life that has been so very universal as this one, that the entire world is mamish in this together, that everybody is fighting this same enemy, no matter what sides of other battles we might be on, we're all on the same side when it comes to this, and there is something inspiring about that. But the way that it changes our reality, the way that it changes the way we are living our lives, is also inspiring, by the way. The fact that we're all doing this in order to protect each other, in order to protect humanity. But it does mean that we lose out on what is most often our, for Jewish people in particular, for Frum people in particular, our bread and butter, which is our ability to connect to other people, to come together as a community. And the Seder night is no different. There's no doubt. The greatest tragedy of the Seder night, as it looks like it's going to play out this year, and we don't know for sure, Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin, and things can change, but the way it certainly looks like it's going to play out this year, the greatest tragedy is that the mitzvah of V'igadta Levincha, the mitzvah of passing on a Mesorah from one generation to the next generation, where it's not uncommon nowadays, where you have four, sometimes five generations sitting at a single Seder table, that is not going to happen this year. And there are going to be many grandparents and great-grandparents that are having the Seder alone, and that is not the way that it is meant to be, but it's what we have to do in order to protect everybody. So that is undoubtedly the saddest part of the entire Seder. But I am sure that there's going to be another time, again, barring an immediate salvation, which we certainly pray for each and every day and is not beyond the realm of possibility. Certainly seeing how quickly things have changed in one direction, we believe, Yeshua Hashem Karafayin, things can change equally quickly in the other direction. But barring anything unexpected in the positive direction, there's going to be a very poignant moment at most of our Siddurim. And that is the moment where we declare, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach. In fact, someone told me that they had asked Rav Avigdor Nevensal Shlita, they had a question-answer session with Rav Nevensal about Pesach and the coronavirus, and they asked him whether they should skip that line in the Haggadah. Because how can you invite, how can you say, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, if you're actually not going to let anybody into your house? Forget about other people, you're not even going to let your own parents and grandparents into your home. So how could someone issue such an invitation? And Rav Nevensal said, apparently I didn't see it myself, that anyway, we still keep that in the Haggadah. I mean, throughout history, there have been many times where, unfortunately, that was a joke, meaning it was not something that was a realistic possibility that people could come into our Sedarim and we can allow them in and we can share with them and we would have what to share with them. And obviously, called Zitzruch Yesev Yivsach, we've never experienced in our entire lives. Yivsach means share Karban Pesach with us. So obviously, we do keep it in the Haggadah, even though it doesn't seem to be so realistic. But then, later at the end of the Seder, there comes another time at the Seder, which I want to discuss, and that's going to be the primary topic for tonight, and that is when we open up the door. We open up the door at the end of the Seder. We say, Shvoch Hamascha al Agoyim. We pour this fifth cup of wine, what is commonly referred to as Kos Shel Eliyahu, and apparently we're opening up the door for some reason. Now, what is the idea of opening up the door right after pouring a Kos Shel Eliyahu? I remember as a very young child, I hated this part of the Seder because I didn't know who Eliyahu Hanavi was. I didn't know if he was good or bad or why what he was doing in my house. I knew that my friend, I remember I had a friend named Gavriel, I knew my friend Gavriel who lived down the block. That's someone who I wanted to play with. And I used to scream and tell my parents, I don't want Eliyahu Hanavi to come. They still make fun of me. I don't want Eliyahu Hanavi to come. I want Gavriel to come. I just reconnected with Gavriel last year. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael now. And so I'll never ever forget his name because I'm reminded every year at Pesach. But that was the fear. Who's this guy? Why is he coming into my house? Why is Eliyahu Hanavi coming in and just taking a sip of wine? Meaning, like, to me, it sounded like, something like Lahavdil, the non-Jewish world, the Christian world believes around, or doesn't necessarily believe, but they have a similar legend around the time of their holidays, that there's this big guy in a red suit that comes down their chimney and he takes milk and cookies. So ours is coming into our front door and taking wine instead of milk and cookies. What's this all about? Where does this come from, that someone's coming into the house? And, someone would always, like, knock under the table. Oh, it sounds like someone's there at the door, shake the wine a little bit to make it look like he's taking some wine. Where does that come from? Why would Eliyahu Hanavi come and drink wine at everybody's Seder? So the truth is, there is no real source more than 150 years old that tells us that Eliyahu Hanavi visits every Seder. Every Bris Mila, yes, that's in Chazal. That Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu is the Malach HaBris, and he comes to visit every Bris Mila. And that's why we have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu that is prepared at a Bris. But every Seder, that we don't really have. We don't have a clear source that Eliyahu Hanavi is an actual visitor at our Sidarim, just taking wine instead of Santa Claus's milk and cookies. We don't have such a thing. So where in the world does this come from, this idea of opening up the door? So I think when we look at the basis for this minhag, we'll be able to see something very valuable, like we always do when you look at Jewish minhagim. When you look at ancient minhagim, you find very, very valuable ideas that really make a huge difference in terms of our hashkafa, in terms of the way we are looking at the world. The Rama writes in Simin Taf Pei that v'yesh omrim sheyesh lomar shvoch chamascha kodem lolanu, that some say we're supposed to say the passage of Shvoch Hamascha al Agoyim before lolanu, before the paragraph of lolanu in Hallel, v'liftoach ha-pesach kedei lizkar shulel shimurim, and we're supposed to open up the door in order to remember that this is a night of protection. Those are key words. Lel shimurim. Ubizchus emunazu yavo mashiach v'yishvo chamascha v'achishim ba'ashem. And in the zchus of that emuna that we are demonstrating by opening up the door and showing that we believe it is a lel shimurim, we're going to be zocha for the arrival of Mashiach, where the wrath of God is going to come out against those who deny the existence of God. And that's why we say Shvoch Hamascha al Agoyim, specifically specifically when we open the door. So we're opening the door and we're showing we have absolute confidence. Normally it's dangerous to open the door so late at night, we don't know who could come in. No, we open the door, we show that we have absolute confidence, and right after opening the door, we say Shvoch HaMascha to demonstrate that that confidence, that emuna, that's what's going to bring about the coming of Mashiach. That's what the Rama actually writes, is the basis for opening up the door. And the simple explanation of this is, it's important to understand the context within which we learn this concept called Leil Shimurin, that the Seder night is a night of protection. What does that mean, it's a night of protection? Where does it come from that it's a night of protection? So the simple explanation is that it's based on a Gemara in the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tesem Beis, discusses an inyan called zugos. Zugos means that pairs of different things, that there is generally an aversion within Judaism to have things in pairs. We always go for odd numbers. The assumption is that mazikin, that demons and other sorts of negative, powerful spiritual forces attach themselves to things that are done in pairs. So there are some people that will not, they will not eat, two donuts. They'll have only one donut, or preferably three donuts, right? They're not going to have two, because two is a pair. And when you have things in pairs, that's going to attract mazikin. Nowadays, we're not so makbid about this anymore. The Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Mandalo kapid lo kapdinan lei, that if a person is not so careful about these things, so then these things don't really affect him or her anymore. So we're not generally so makvid about this anymore. But there is this idea. There is this idea that that certainly was very popular, to the point that the Gemara was bothered why it is that we have four kosos. Yes, I understand that each kos has a reason for it. Each kos has a role in that part of the Seder. And I understand that there are four languages through which Geula is expressed, and those four languages somehow relate to the four kosos. And I understand the number four is a valuable number on the night of the Seder. We have four of a lot of things on the night of the Seder, but nevertheless, the Gemara is bothered. How could you end up with four? It's gonna be a violation of Zugos, and that's a real problem. And the Gemara says several answers. One of the Gemara's answers is, Amr Rav Nachman Amr Kra, Leil Shimurim, Leil HaMeshumar Min HaMazikin. That the night of the Seder is a Leil Shimurim, and it's therefore a night that protects us, that we are guarded, that we have this automatic protection from the Mazikin, from these negative spiritual forces. And that element of Leil Shimurim already started while we were in Mitzrayim. V'lo yitein ha-mashchis lavos bateichem lingof. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed during Makas Bechoros that there was that the Malach HaMavis was going to visit every Egyptian home, but he would not allow the Malach HaMavis into the Jewish homes to do his work. The Gemara happens to give two other answers. The Gemara gives an answer that the Kos Shel Bracha is only Mitztarif L'Tova V'lo L'Ra'a, that if a person says Kiddush, that Kos of Kiddush can only bring goodness, it can't bring anything bad, and therefore it's as if we only have three Kosos, because that fourth Kos is not really Zugos, because a Kos Shel Bracha can only bring good and not bad. And the Gemara says, we don't have four Kosos. We have four different times, we have one Kos. It's not that you're having four kosos. Each kos has a reason for where it is. You have a kos for Kiddush. You have a kos for Sibritzis Mitzrayim and the Brach of Asher Golanu. You have a kos for Hallel. And you have a kos for Birchas HaMazon. So those are, or Birchas HaMazon and Hallel, rather. So those are the four kosos. They have, but they're not really a group of four kosos. It's they're each independent kosos. But anyway, one of the Gemara's answers is this idea that it's a Leil Shimurim, that it's a night of protection. And that element of Leil Shimurim is something that we already had in Mitzrayim, and it's something that plays out in a couple of other ways as well. The Rama writes in Siman Tav Pei Aleph that Noagim Shelo Likros Al Mitaso Rak Parsha Shema velo shar dvarim shekorim b'shar leilos kidei lahagen ki lel shimurin hu min amazikin. That the minig is that the Kriya Shema Alamita on the night of the Seder is a much abbreviated version of Kriya Shema. We only say the first parash of Shema. We do not say all of the extra psukim that people are in the habit of saying as extra protection. There is this notion that Kriya Shema Alamita's primary function is to protect us from mazikin, that there are these mazikin out there, and Kriya Shema Alamita, as the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Hei says, that when a person reads Kriya Shema Almitaso, it's as if he's Oches Cherev Shal Shtei Pios Biyado. It's as if he's holding a double-edged sword. Why a double-edged sword? Because he needs to be ready to ward off all the mazikin, to battle away all the mazikin. So he's not going to have time to swing his sword in the same direction every time. There are going to be so many mazikin coming at him, he needs a double-edged sword in order to get rid of all those mazikin. Yeah, so Kriya Shema Alamita is meant to get rid of the mazikin. Many of us are familiar with the notion that when you say the bracha of Hamapil, which is a bracha that appears in the Gemara and appears in Shulchan Aruch, a bracha that one is supposed to recite every night, that it's also meant to protect us from chalomos ra'im, hirhurim ra'im, that there are a lot of bad things that a person sees during the day, and it has a way of creeping itself into our minds at night. And the best protection we can have from these chalomos ra'im and hirhurim ra'im is by reciting these extra parts of Kriya Shema Alamita. But says the Rama, on the night of the Seder, it's a lel shimurim. We are automatically protected. We don't need any extra protection, and therefore Kriya Shema Alamita is just the first parsha. Furthermore, the Magen Avram quotes a minhag. Some people still have this minhag, that on the night of the Seder they don't lock their front door. That we express our confidence on the night of the Seder that we are protected by leaving our front door unlocked for the duration of the night. Now that's an easier thing to do if you're up all night. If you stay awake all night, being marbel saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim until you wait for the talmidim to say higiyas man kriyashma. Most of us are not up all night on the night of the Seder. After four cups of wine, it's very difficult for us to keep our eyes open. I'm told that Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Shechter, after the Seder, he's makbid to finish the Seder by Chatzos because that's what you're supposed to do. The Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to finish all four kosos by Chatzos HaLaila. I remember as a child, I used to think that my family must have not been so religious because all of my friends, Siddarim, went to like 2, 3 in the morning, and ours finished about midnight, about at Chatzos. It turns out we were more religious than all of them because we did what the Halacha said. Rav Shai Shechter told me that he always thought that his parents must have been like a bunch of goyim, that they finished the Seder by Chatzos. All of his friends were bragging that their Siddur went till 2, 3 in the morning. So, no, his parents are pretty religious. They finished the Seder by Chatzos. And then Rav Shechter, after the Seder, takes out a Gemara Pesachim, and he starts learning all of the sugyas about the Korban Pesach, starting with the fifth parak of Maseches Pesach and parak Tamid Nishchat, and he just keeps on learning until he can't stay awake anymore, until his eyes close. So, okay, that's an easier thing to keep your door unlocked if you're going to be awake anyway. When you go to sleep, it really requires a little bit more of emuna to say that that you're going to be comfortable. I guess it depends what neighborhood you live in as well. But bottom line is that the idea of opening the door, the Rama says, is based on this notion of Lel Shimurim, that we open the door as an overt display of Emuna, that we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe that we are invincible tonight because you are protecting us. And the only one that has any power to do good or bad, to do anything to us, to hurt or help us, is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And no one can do anything to us without the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we have this overt display of Emuna. And it's not surprising that we have this on the night of the Seder, because as we said, the Magen Avraham writes, there is a minhag to not lock the door at all. all on the night of the Seder. And as we said, the Ramah says that we don't read the full Kriya Shema on the night of the Seder. And in Mitzrayim we had this emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow, while meeting out punishment on all of our enemies, skipped over our homes. In fact, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Zundel Salant, he asks that if the opening of the door is really about Lel Shimurim, then shouldn't we leave it open from the beginning of the meal? Why do we only open the door at the end of the meal? And he points out that the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo already asks this question, and the Beis Halevi explains that since the idea of Lel Shimurim emerges from the sugya of Zugos, like we discussed, from the sugya of doing things in pairs, so we dafka wait for the fourth kos. We wait until we've done Zugos, which should get us in trouble, which should mean that we're about to experience something that's going to be difficult, that's going to be challenging. And dafka, when we have that fourth kos, that's when we say we're not afraid of the Zugos, and we're not afraid of opening our door, and we're not afraid of not saying Kriya Shema Lamita, and we're not afraid of leaving our door unlocked. We're not afraid of anything, because we have absolute emuna in the Ribono Shel Olam. And that might explain why in the world there's any sort of connection to Eliyahu HaNavi. The Achronim explain that on Pesach night we say that Eliyahu and Mashiach will come because the Mazikin run away from a place where Eliyahu's name is said. So we talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, not because he's already there, not because he's coming like some raging alcoholic drinking wine in everybody's home. No, we have no such traditions about Eliyahu HaNavi. Not wine, not milk and cookies, nothing. Why are we mentioning his name? We're mentioning his name because mention of his name also chases away the mazikin. And the idea of opening the door, the idea of leaving the door unlocked, the idea of abbreviating Kriya Shema Lamita is all our way of saying that we are not affected by the mazikin. The Chasam Sofer in his comments on Shulchan Aruch, on the comment of the Ramah that we open the door, says this pretty much explicitly. The Chasam Sofer writes, Ya'an ki mozgin kos revi'i, that because we pour a fourth kos, Vilo chayshin al zugos, and when we do so, we're not concerned about zugos. Al kein merames shulel shimurim. That's why we dafka, right when we pour the fourth kos, we make this public demonstration that it's a lel shimurim, that it's a night of protection, and that's why we're comfortable pouring this fourth kos of wine, because it's a lel shimurim. That is all one approach. Seems to be the simple reading of the Ramah as to why it is that we open the door. But I want to share with you a second approach. And the second approach, I think, may resonate a little bit more than this whole inyan of mazikin. What do we know about mazikin? When are we ever concerned about mazikin? A second approach that I think is an explanation for this minhag that may resonate a little bit more. And that is an approach that emerges from a comment of the Orchos Chaim in Hilchos Lela Pesach, Sifkatan Lamed Zayin. The Orchos Chaim explains the Lel Shimurim concept a little bit differently. See, the way we've been explaining it until now is like it's an automatic protection. The night of the Seder provides us with protection from Azikin. Says the Orchos Chaim, that's not what it is. He writes, Minag bekama mekomos, she'ein nol in sham achadarim she'ishenim sham b'leili Pesach, that we don't lock the doors that we sleep in on the night of Pesach, because we experienced Geula in the past during Chodesh Nisan, and we will once again experience Geula during Chodesh Nisan. D'chsiv, Lel Shimurim Ula Hashem. What is Lel Shimurim? Not that we are protected, but Laila Hamishumar Uba Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. The night that Hashem has been guarding from the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis to finally bring our Geula. Hashem has been keeping this night in his back pocket, waiting to bring it out and to say, this is the night of Geula. V'im Yavo Eliyahu, Yimtza Pesach Pasuach, V'yetze L'krosso Maher. And if Eliyahu HaNavi starts marching down my street, he starts marching down Longacre Avenue in North Woodmere, I should be able to immediately run out of my house because my door is open and I can greet him. very different take on what the idea of opening the door. The way we understood it before, the way the Rama understood it, I open the door, why? I don't care, anyone could come in, it doesn't bother me, I don't think anyone harmful is going to come in anyway. That's the way we explained it before. Now it says the Aruch HaShem entirely differently. Why do I open the door? Not because I'm not afraid of people coming in, but because I'm ready to go out. I'm ready to leave the front door. I'm ready to go greet Elio. I have confidence that Mashiach is going to be coming. And that's why, not that Elio Hanavi is coming in and sipping my wine. He has no interest in my wine. But that I'm going to be ready to come out and to greet him when he arrives. It's an expression of emuna, not in our protection from Azikin, but an emuna that the geula will come. It's similar to keeping a Mashiach bag packed. My friend Rabbi Yehuda Balzam told me he was once during parent-teacher conferences, and a DRS parent told him, confided in him, that he keeps a Mashiach bag packed, that he keeps a little suitcase in case Mashiach comes any night. So that's a little bit surprising, because that's something that you hear about, of the world's greatest tzaddikim that have such a practice, and probably is only appropriate for the world's greatest tzaddikim. Meaning, unless everything else in a person's life is aligned with that, and they live their life ki'ilu Mashiach is coming at every moment, like the Chafetz Chaim did, it's hard to imagine that that's an appropriate kind of chumrah. But great holy tzaddikim sometimes had such a practice. It's questionable whether the Chafetz Chaim had such a practice, but great holy tzaddikim had such a practice that constantly they always had a suitcase packed. When a couple is expecting a child and they're in the ninth month, so they'll keep a bag packed to run to the hospital. So there are people that keep a bag packed to run for Mashiach, that they're going to be ready to go if Mashiach comes. So it's an expression of emuna. That's what we're really doing. We're expressing our emuna that Mashiach might come at any moment. In fact, the Yerushalmi in the 12th Parak of Maseches Ksubos tells us that Rabbi Yirmiya asked if he could be buried in nice white clothing, have his shoes on, and have his walking stick next to him, because he knew that as soon as Tchias HaMesim comes, he's going to have to be ready to greet the Mashiach and to go together with when Mashiach comes, to go together to Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted to be ready. That's a profound statement of emuna. And maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's what opening the door is all about. Not about who we're not afraid coming into our homes, but about how we are expecting, anticipating, that we're going to need to leave our homes on the night of the Seder. In fact, the term Lel Shimurim seems to be understood both ways by the Gemara itself in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yod Aleph. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, B'nisan Nigalu B'nisan Asidin Ligael, Minalan Amarkra Lel Shimurim, Lel Amishumar Uba Misheshes Yimei Bereshes, that we will one day have our Geula in Chodesh Nisan. And how do I know this? I know this from the Pasuk, Lel Shimurim. Lel Shimurim means that Kodesh Baruch has been waiting to bring the Geula. V'idach, Laila HaMeshumar Uba Min HaMazikin. And the other opinion says that no, Mashiach is going to come in Tishrei, not in Nisan. What's Lel Shimurim about? It's about the protection from the Mazikin. So both of these viewpoints have a basis in the Gemara itself. And apparently in this view, in this second view, we open the door not because of our confidence that nobody's coming in, but because of our preparedness to go out. So where is the source for Kos Shel Eliyahu? What does it have to do with the Kos? So the earliest source we have for a Kos Shel Eliyahu,
that's real,
is in the writings of a Talmud of the Maharil. It should be noted that in 1905...
upstairs.
There was in 1905 in Warsaw, there was a Rav by the name of Rav Yudel Rosenberg who printed a Haggadah of the Maharal, which he claimed was from a manuscript of the Maharal's son-in-law. And in that Haggadah, there's a whole long discussion of the number of glasses of wine that a person should drink at the Seder. And the Maharal concludes in that Haggadah that you should drink 5 cups of wine. And the 5th cup is the Kos Shel Eliyahu. If that is correct, then we have an early source for Kol Shel Eliyahu, the Maral. That's a lot more than 150 years ago. And based on what the Maral is saying, it comes from even earlier sources than him. However, it's unlikely that that is correct. Rabbi Dr. Schneur Lyman gave a very famous lecture and has written on this topic of Rav Yudel Rosenberg's writings about the Maharal. It seems that most of what he wrote about the Maharal was meant to be written as legend, as works of fiction, as something to entertain Jewish children, and is not really historically based. So it could very well be that his entire discussion of the Maharal talking about a Kol Shel Eliyahu is not really historically based. In fact, the most famous story that Rav Yudel Rosenberg tells in the beginning of the 20th century, and it's the first time it ever really appears in the beginning of the 20th century, is a story about how the Maharal created a golem. And that story took on a life of its own. There are people that will swear today that the Maharal absolutely made a golem. There's a big statue of the golem in Prague. If you ad hayom, until you go visit the golem, when you go visit Prague and you go visit the Maharal shul, so it's all about the golem. But all of that happened after the early 20th century when this story became popular. So it's unlikely that it comes from the Maharal. The earliest idea of a Kos Shel Eliyahu is actually in the writings of a Talmud, also of a Rishon, very early Achron, the Maharil, who in 1471, which was in Ksav Yad until recently. But he does not write that Eliyahu HaNavi visits and drinks our wine necessarily. What he writes is, V'nei ra'isi yesh b'nei adam b'leile Pesach shemozgin kos miyuchad u'ma'amidin al ha'shulchan va'omrim shezeh ha'kos Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, I've seen people pour a kos, put it on the table and say that this is a kos for Eliyahu HaNavi. V'lo yadati me'ayin zeh hatam. He says, I don't know why they do that. I don't know where that comes from. V'nira da'atam yotze me'hacha. She'im yavo Eliyahu HaNavi b'lel Pesach kasher anu mekavim u'mechakim lo b'zeh ha'layla. If Eliyahu HaNavi were actually to come, as we hope that he does, v'tzarech gam hu l'kos, he's also going to need to do the mitzvos of the Leil HaSeder. He's going to need a kos as well. And if we're not ready, we're going to have to scramble last minute to get him a kos. And maybe in that delay, Eliyahu HaNavi will not be able to partake of the mitzvos of the Seder. And we were so concerned about this that we should always be prepared to greet Eliyahu HaNavi and be able to help him out, that he should be able to have all the mitzvos that are necessary. So that's the first source that actually mentions Eliyahu HaNavi coming to drink the kos. But again, not that he comes to everybody's home and drinks a kos of yayin. No, that we have such emuna that Eliyahu HaNavi might come that night. And maybe the minhag developed later on that we are prepared to give Eliyahu a kos of yayin so that he can partake of the mitzvos of the Seder. Apparently, we are ready for Eliyahu just in case he comes during the Seder, and just in case he decides of all the Sedarim he can come and have the mitzvos alayla with, he chooses our Seder. To me, this is a powerful message. Now, this is a message that we're working out our Seder. We're pouring an extra kos. We spend a lot of money on this fancy tall kos that we pour as a kos shel Eliyahu, on the chance that of all of the sedarim that Eliyahu HaNavi could choose, he's going to choose our Seder. That's something to contemplate. Does our Seder look like the kind of Seder that if Eliyahu HaNavi could choose any Seder in the world, he's going to choose our Seder to partake of the kos? The idea that we're prepared for the remote possibility of Eliyahu's timing is something that is found in Shas as well in other contexts. The Gemara tells us, for example, that there is an Isser Chadash. You're not allowed to eat from the new grains on the second day of Pesach. And really, really, as soon as the second day of Pesach begins, Mishaheir Hayom, Chadash Bimutter. But if Eliyahu HaNavi comes on that day, and we get to bring a Karban Omer, then the hakravas hakarban is going to be what's matir the chadash, what allows us to eat the chadash. And therefore, Chazal said, we're not going to eat chadash the entire second day of Pesach. because maybe this year is going to be the year that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, and he's dafka going to come on this day. And when he comes on this day, we are going to be prepared for him. We are going to be ready for him. That confidence in imminent geula, that's the kos shel Eliyahu. That's what the Mishnah Brura describes. The Mishnah Brura writes, V'noagin be'elu medinos limzok kos echad yoser me'amasubin. We pour a kos beyond the number of people that are actually there at the table. V'koronoso kos shel Eliyahu HaNavi. And we call it the kos shel Eliyahu HaNavi. Why? L'rameis sha'anu ma'aminim shekeshem shega'alnu Hashem Yisbarach mi'mitzrayim hu yig'alnu od v'yishach lanos Eliyahu levasreinu. It's a remez to our emunah that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, there is another geula forthcoming, and we believe that that geula is going to come in very short order. We pour the kos as a symbol that Eliyahu HaNavi can come and that he will likely come very, very shortly. Rav Yerucham Olshan explains that the Saba Mikelem pointed out that geula typically only happens after we build up our emuna ubitachon. The Eser Makos were geared toward building up emuna ba'Hashem. Dam Pesach, Makas Bechoros, it was bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would protect us. Once we built up our emuna, we built up our bitachon, we were ready for geula. The geula hasida will similarly be through emuna bitachon followed by geula. And that emuna bitachon expresses itself in this one minug of the night of pouring that fifth kos, of opening the door. Yeah, it could be that the emuna is simply that we're protected, that we're not going to be hurt by the mazikin, but it could be something much more than that. It's an emuna and bitachon that we are ready for geula, that we're prepared for geula. The kos shel Eliyahu is our version of a Mashiach bag. We're ready to run out that door as soon as Eliyahu HaNavi comes. As soon as he starts marching down or riding down our blocks, we're going to run out to greet him and join the parade with the rest of Klal Yisrael, because we have this great emunah and bitachon that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to arrive. And that only comes when we build within ourselves a profound sense of emunah and bitachon. Particularly this year, I don't know about you, I've been talking to a lot of different people. It's so interesting that, when we have to be so disconnected, social distancing, I find myself talking all day to people, more than I do on a typical day, when things are normal. And in one-on-one conversations with people, I'm hearing a lot of very powerful things from regular people. And one of the themes that keeps on coming up, just regular people, of course there's no such thing as a regular Jew, but people who seem like regular Jews, one of the themes that keeps on coming up is people keep saying, Rabbi, there's something big going on over here. This is not just historic, this is destiny making. This is something that is going to somehow indicate what the destiny of the Jewish people is and how soon we are going to be zocha to that destiny. And we should be zocha to continue to talk like that, not to suggest that we know what Hashem's plans are, but we do know begadol what Hashem's plans are. Hashem's plans are ultimately to have a geula ha'asida. We don't know exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans on that, but we should talk about it like it's a reality, not like it's something cute we tell our children. We should talk about it like it's a reality, that there is a geula that is on its way. And there are cataclysmic events that are going to happen that will shape the geula, that will shape the world in advance of geula. Do we know for sure that this is it? We don't know anything. But it's okay for a Jew to talk like that. It's okay for a Jew to talk like he has emunah, he or she has emunah that Mashiach can come. To actually say, b'chol yom, that we are, achakalo, that I hope for him, and I wait for him, and I anticipate him, b'chol yom sheyavo. And when we talk like that, and we mean it, and we're serious about it, and we see the world events happening around us, we should be zocha that when we leave our door open this year, it's not going to be to allow anybody in. Kol dich v'nyeh sevi echol is not really going to happen. No one's able to come in. but called Ditzri Chesei V'Yifsach, by the end of the night, we're going to be ready to experience a Korban Pesach. By the end of the night, we're going to be ready to experience Be'ezras Hashem, a Geula Shlema, where we'll be able to march outside of our doors and join the parade of Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach Ben David and Mashiach Tzidkenu and be able to experience a Geula Shlema. Have a wonderful evening, everybody, and thank you so much for coming to learn with me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Hang out the girl here.
Thank you.